Well, we will be ready to hear the oral argument in the Worldmark case. Mr. Downey, whenever you're ready to begin, we're ready to hear your argument.
Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Thomas E. Downey, Jr. Excuse me. I appear on behalf of the appellant Worldmark in this case. I'm going to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, and the bailiff has kindly agreed to give me an amber warning, so thank you. This is a property tax appeal in which the central issue is whether the property owned by Worldmark in Estes Park, Colorado, should be classified as residential or commercial. Worldmark asserts that it should have the residential classification, and for property tax purposes, that is a more favorable property tax classification. Your property is assessed at a lower assessment ratio, your taxes are arguably less. Because this property consists of residential improvements, which we'll talk about, because it was restricted to timeshare use, residential timeshare use, because it had actual residential use, and because it was not offered to members of the general public on an overnight or weekly basis in 2005, we submit that the BAA, the Board of Assessment Appeals, made an error in finding that this property is more akin to a commercial hotel or motel than a residential timeshare use property. We respectfully request that you reverse the BAA and enter an order finding this property to be residential for the 2005 tax year. And we submit that that action is warranted by this court because the BAA, in interpreting the timeshare use statute, interpreting the hotel and motel statute, made errors of law, which are reviewable by this court. They ignored the plain, clear language of the statute. They failed to interpret the statutes in a way that gives meaning to all of the various parts of the statute. And their construction leads to an effect which we believe is not intended by the legislature, as evidenced by their most recent 2002 legislative history with House Bill 1265.
Mr. Downey, is your argument limited to 2005?
And the reason
I ask that is, would your position be different if the public had stayed overnight?
This case is limited to the 2005 tax year, to answer your first question. Secondly, the undisputed evidence, the stipulated evidence in this case, was that the property was not advertised or marketed to the general public in that year. It was not available for use, nor was it used by members of the general public. It was only available to the owner members who purchased vacation credits. There was one limited exception, however, Your Honor, one that most of us are familiar with. For sales and marketing purposes, people were often invited to a property to stay for a night or two, to view the amenities, view the property, to see if it's something they want to acquire. Those were the only non-owner member uses in 2005. Those were the stipulated facts. What our argument is essentially that in reading the BAA's order, it looks like they go through all the stipulated facts, and as I was reading it, it says this is all sounding good to me, and then it fell off a cliff. And it fell off the cliff in its analysis of the timeshare use statute and in the hotel and motel statute. Your question goes to the hotel or motel issue. The statute says to be a hotel or motel in this state, very important, you have to be offered to the general public for stays on an overnight or weekly basis. That language is incredibly important here. It was added to the statutory definition in 2002 in House Bill 1265 to prevent a situation that was occurring in Routt County, which is just like the situation that's occurring here. In Routt County, the assessor attempted to take a property known as the Steamboat Grand Hotel, which was basically a condominium and timeshare use property. And they tried to say, well, because only people stay there for a night or two or three, that length of stay means it has to be a hotel. There was litigation, as there has been periodically from 1982. Condominiums, fractionals, timeshares have been residential really since the Gallagher Amendment in the early 80s. There have been periodic challenges to that, the most recent with Routt County. And in 2002, Representative White introduced this bill, and he made it very clear that he wanted to do a couple things. One, to be a hotel, have to be offered to the general public. In this case, the stipulated facts show that it wasn't advertised to, it wasn't used by, it was only used by members. There was no use by the general public. So that part of the BAA's finding that we were more akin, they didn't say we were or we weren't, it just kind of looked more akin to a hotel.
Does it matter if membership is offered to the general public?
You know, it's a good question, Your Honor, and I don't think so. And I think the reason is this. You know, the membership is offered to the general public, but in the property tax statutes, property tax cases, the question is one of use. How is it used? Is it used by the general public? And in this case, the answer is clearly not. We think the BAA also erred in its interpretation of this timeshare use concept. When you look at that statute, it says timeshare means, on one hand, a timeshare estate, as defined in Title 38, or a timeshare use. The BAA didn't address the timeshare estate portion of that statute, but they went to timeshare use and they said, you can't be timeshare use, WorldMark, because people, owners or members who purchase these credits don't get to stay in a particular unit for a particular time every year. We submit that that's an erroneous reading of that statute, and as you look at the timeshare use definition, it's significantly broader than timeshare estate. The BAA's findings are more akin to a timeshare estate, which is an interval or a time span estate, which requires that there be an interest in real property for a fixed unit for a fixed period of time.
Mr. Downey, how I understand, though, that if I were a member of WorldMark, that I might not get to stay at its Estes Park facility at all if other WorldMark members made reservations to stay there before me.
That's correct.
So doesn't that detract from your argument that there is timeshare use?
I don't think so, Your Honor, and if I may, let me look at the second part of that statute to try and answer your question. It says timeshare use means a contractual or membership right that can't be terminated by the owner of the property. These folks who purchase these vacation credits enter into a contract, copy of it's in the record, and when they purchase their credits, they become members. The only way their interest can be terminated is if they fail to pay their annual or special assessments then their interest can be foreclosed according to the declaration provisions. It also says that this contractual or membership right of occupancy must be for life or for a term of years, which is exactly what these people purchased, Your Honor. And then we're getting to the answer to your question. It says then that this occupancy right must be recurrent and exclusive. And here's the interesting part, and this is why the second part of this statute is so broad. It's not to a specific unit for a specific period of time. It specifically says it's to a unit or specific or non-specific segment of property. And then it goes on to say, for a period of time that has been or will be allotted from the occupancy periods into which the property is divided. In this case, as against members of the general public, these member owners have an exclusive right to enjoy the property. There is a reservation system. You're encouraged to reserve early. If there's not room when you make your reservation, you go on a waiting list. There is discussion in, I believe it's Exhibit F, which discusses how most of the people from the waiting list often get to stay at their place of choice. And if they can't for some particular reason, there are any number of other resorts that they can go to. But the important part of answering your question, Judge, is the allotted use, as against members, the declaration says the members' right to use and occupy and enjoy this property as against other members is as allotted under the terms of our declaration and our bylaws and our contract and our rules.
So the statutory definition of timeshare use, in your view, doesn't require that you actually have any right or entitlement to stay at the WorldMark facility in Estes Park, just that the request be allotted in some manner.
It's that your request and your right to use the property be in accordance with the periods, however they've been allotted under the declaration and the contract and the bylaws, correct?
So as long as that's done, it doesn't make any difference, as I said in my hypothetical, if I might not get to use the facility in Estes Park at all.
No, you still have the right to use other facilities. And the fact that, I mean, that's what you buy into, that's what you agree to. Those are the use periods to which the property has been allotted. The timeshare use portion of that timeshare statute is significantly broader, and we submit that we fall right on top of it. I'll reserve the remainder
Before
of my time.
Before you do, I just yes. have one question, and that is, does the BAA have to find that this was an actual timeshare unit in order to declare it to be residential use?
Well, they specifically found that we weren't a timeshare use property. Mm-hmm. And they found that, they said, because you don't get room 19 for week 36 every year, you can't be a timeshare use. And we're submitting that those particular findings are more consistent with timeshare estate, the one part of the statute, but are totally inconsistent with the broad definition of timeshare use. Okay. And it all falls out because broad definition, residential real property, includes residential land and residential improvements, but doesn't include a hotel. When you go to the hotel statute, it says a hotel is available to the general public overnight or weekly basis, but it doesn't include a residence. And then you fall through the statutory definition to go from residence to condominium to timeshare and then to timeshare use. Thank you.
Mr. Downey, you have a little over 3 minutes left for your rebuttal, despite your best efforts and our best efforts to ensure that you'd have 5 minutes for a rebuttal.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is William Rasu. I'm appearing on behalf of the Larimer County Commissioners. I'd first like to clarify a few issues raised by Mr. Downey. Mr. Downey indicated that the WorldMark property is restricted to timeshare use, residential use, and where those restrictions come from is the declaration for members of the WorldMark property. I would indicate that is not, in fact, the way that they actually work. There are a number of indications in the briefing and I think in the argument where those things are stated as if they're fact. When you look at the actual way that they're structured, that's just not the way that it is. For example, residential occupancy. The World Mark Declaration does say that these units are restricted to residential occupancy. However, in the very same provision, it says that no more than two people per bedroom can use the property unless there's an approval by World Mark. That's more like a hotel. That's not a residency. If me and my wife and my son want to go to this property and it's a one-bedroom unit, I need approval from World Mark to use that for three people. It says people, not adults. So that's just one example, I think, where the documentation that organizes World Mark does in a couple of places say it's limited to residential use, but that just doesn't make it so. There was also some commentary on House Bill 1265. The legislative history very clearly shows what the purpose was behind that House bill. It was to make sure that condominiums and timeshare units weren't lumped in with commercial properties. That was the intent. It's very clear. I don't think that's in dispute. And admittedly, those properties shouldn't be lumped in as commercial properties. Those owners have deeded real property interests.
There was a great deal of emphasis put on the public. Was there not a lodging to the public?
There was, and I believe that the legislative intent, the reason that there was so much focus put on the public is because that was a distinguishing factor at the time.
But in 2005, which I understand to be the relevant assessment date, the public didn't use the property, did it?
Well, the stipulated facts do indicate that it was not used by the public. That was an issue. Perhaps the better terminology would have been it was not used by non-members. The membership is open up to general members of the public. It's not an exclusive group. It's basically a prepaid vacation program. You buy a certain number of vacation credits. You have to use them within 2 years. If you don't use them, they expire. And you can only use the property if there's space available.
Well, in 2005, to use that terminology, mm-hmm. Woodmark members only used the property, didn't they?
Other than, I believe, the marketing folks, I believe that's correct. That only members used it other than for marketing purposes, correct.
Why isn't that a problem for you under the statute when the actual use of the property on the relevant assessment date was not used by the public?
Well, I think that this property, like many properties, doesn't fit exactly within the definition of a hotel motel because of that piece. It also doesn't fit directly within the definition of a residential use. And the residential use in this case would require, and a critical component of any residential property is that an owner has an absolute and exclusive right to use the property. So getting back to your question, that was a problem. That is an issue in this case. It doesn't absolutely fit the definition of a hotel motel because of that public piece. It also doesn't fit the definition of a residential property because there's no absolute right to occupancy. You have a right to make a reservation, and if there's space available, you can use it.
Mr. Rissou, yeah. Assuming that we agree with you about that, how do we determine which classification is appropriate if under the facts here that World Mark doesn't fit under hotels or motels on the one hand or timeshares on the other?
Well, I think great deference needs to be given to the Board of Assessment Appeals to apply their regulations to the facts that they found. It's more akin, that was the terminology used by the Board of Assessment Appeals. It's not exactly a hotel motel, it's not exactly a residence, but it's more like a hotel and a motel than it is a residence.
Can I ask a point of clarification here? My understanding is that the BAA found it was more akin to a hotel, a motel, rather than a timeshare unit. Is that the same thing as finding it's not akin to residential use? And if it's not, why is it not residential use?
Well, in order for a property to be assessed as a residential use, it can either be a single family home, a timeshare, or a condominium. And in this case, I don't believe it was argued at any point that these properties were a condo or a single family residence. The argument was that it was a timeshare. So that was the focus of the BAA, was whether or not this property was a timeshare property.
Well, is it sufficient then if there's timeshare use, even if it may not be a timeshare estate?
I believe that the way the statute reads is that a property is considered a timeshare if it's either a timeshare use or a timeshare. There are two definitions for timeshare, and I actually may have the citations for those. One is timeshare use, and that was the focus of the BAA. But within that definition of what timeshare use is, it specifically mentions exclusivity. And that's the linchpin in this case, is that there's no exclusive right to use. There's no absolute guaranteed right to use this property. You can only use it if there's space available.
Well, as I understand Mr. Downey's argument, he's saying that there was exclusive use in the sense that the opportunity to stay at the WorldMark facility was limited to members of the WorldMark Club.
The way that I read the statute regarding timeshare use is that it speaks to an expectation of a residential property owner. We're dealing with two separate things here. You can look at the actual use of the property, which again has commercial characteristics, and perhaps it has some residential characteristics. It was used for the vast majority of overnight, less than three night stays. But when you start talking about, I apologize, I misplaced your question. I know I didn't answer it.
I don't remember my question either. I'm sorry.
I apologize. I think one of the linchpins, I'll get back to just my argument, that one of the linchpins is that property owners in WorldMark do not have any absolute right to stay at this hotel. The documentation that they sign talks about how when you call up to make a reservation, have a couple places in mind because you may not get to stay in Estes Park. It also comments that at any time, WorldMark, in their sole discretion, can rent out these rooms to the general public. That's up to WorldMark.
So, I remember my question now, but that I was asking was whether in the statute defining timeshare use, the word exclusive that you were discussing, whether from Mr. Downey's standpoint, exclusive use would be that it's limited to members of WorldMark with some limited exceptions. Do you agree with that?
I don't, and that's actually, I'm glad you remembered, because I think that's an important point, is that there are two different issues at work here. Mr. Downey is speaking to the actual use. In 2005, how was this property actually used? The definition of the actual use of a timeshare use, the definition speaks to what does the property owner have? Do they have an absolute right? Do they have an expectation to repeated use of this property? So I think those are two separate issues.
Well, in your brief, it seemed like you were referring to a timeshare estate in the sense that you were referring to your ability to stay at a particular facility at a particular time for 1 week or 2 weeks every year. But the timeshare use statute specifically says that it can be for a specific or non-specific segment of real property.
Correct.
Does that make a difference?
It does not, because the definition of timeshare use, I would agree, is broad enough to allow for properties where there is no absolute set week and there's no absolute set property. There's no specific unit. And that's not the issue, and that hasn't been the issue. The issue is, do you have an absolute expectation? It doesn't have to be an absolute expectation in unit 105. It doesn't have to be an absolute expectation that every single week of Christmas you're going to have the same unit. I agree that that's not required.
Well then that I think needs us to look, Mr. Rishu, at the specific language later on in the definition of timeshare use that refers to for a period of time that has been or will be allotted from the use of or occupancy periods.
Right.
And so if I understand your position, you're interpreting that phrase to mean that you have to have a right to have some property allotted to you every year, and that doesn't exist here.
Correct. There has to be a recurrent and an absolute right. That right doesn't have to be in a set unit or for a set time, but it has to be an absolute right. So if you have a one-week timeshare, every year you get a week. It may not be the same week and it may not be in the same unit, but every year you get 1 week, absolutely no questions asked.
So WorldMark members don't have that?
They absolutely do not have that. And in fact, WorldMark can choose to rent out these units to the public if they so choose. And you don't let to, you aren't left with the decision of just leaving your timeshare unit for your 1 week, whenever it may be and whatever unit it might be in, vacant. You can't do that. When you have a real property right, like you do in a timeshare and in a condo and in your single family residence, if you want your 1 week to just be dormant, you can do that. If you want to go for 1 or 2 days during your week, you can do that. In WorldMark, you can't do that. You have to call up and make a reservation. And if you don't make a reservation, those units can go to anyone, including the public, under WorldMark's guidelines.
If you do make a reservation, can you be bumped by the public?
I don't believe that the public could bump you, just like if you have a reservation in a hotel. They're not going to give up your reservation and bump you for the use by someone else. But the key is that you can't make that reservation unless there's space available. And that's the problem with WorldMark structure. There's no absolute expectation to use of their property in Estes Park. Sure, you can go to one of their other properties somewhere else, but that's like a hotel. This is a vacation club where you're buying the right to make a reservation. There's no guarantee that you can stay in Estes Park, just like there's no guarantee that you can stay at the Holiday Inn in Estes Park. If there's space available, you can stay. If there isn't, you have to look elsewhere. That's a hotel motel. That's a vacation club. That's not a property right, a real property right that's absolute and recurring. And that's where I think it falls out of the definition of a timeshare use. Even the timeshare use definition has that requirement. There has to be an absolute and recurring expectation of use, and that's what you just don't have here.
Let me ask you this. In order to be commercial, does it have to be provided to the public?
The definition of a hotel motel requires that. And no, that would just be with regard to the lodging. As far as I know, it would just be with respect to the lodging component of commercial properties.
Okay, so do you agree this is a lodging commercial property?
I would, absolutely. This is it's a vacation club. It's no different than the dozens and dozens and dozens of other vacation properties up in Estes Park. And the distinction between this property and a timeshare property, again, is just that expectation of use. If I have a timeshare property in Estes Park, I'm guaranteed that I can go stay at that property every single year during my 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever I've purchased, unconditionally. I have that absolute expectation. For WorldMark, I don't. I have to call every single time I want to go up there. Each year, I have to have the vacation credits, which expire every 2 years, and only if there's space available can I stay there. So it's like it's a paid opportunity to make a reservation, much like a Sam's Club, or members of the public can't go in Sam's Clubs and shop. That's not open to the public. It's open to members only. That's kind of what we're dealing with here.
Mr. Issue, let me come back to the language I was asking about a few minutes ago about that the time has been or will be allotted. Mm-hmm. How do we know exactly what that means? Because it seems to me, on the one hand, that could be interpreted as you're suggesting, that means you have to have a right to have some of the space allotted to you every year. But on the other hand, it could be interpreted the way Mr. Downey says, because it doesn't say that you have to have the right to have property allotted to you every year. So how do we know which of those interpretations is more appropriate, or what the legislature intended?
Well, I think that the requirement is that it shall be allotted. I don't know if there are timeshares out there where you can buy a year or two. I don't believe that the definition is permissible, because then where would you draw the line between a hotel and a timeshare? If it said may be allotted, that's no different than a hotel. You may be allotted time at a hotel. The shall is the residential piece here, that you shall have that expectation, the absolute expectation to use the property that you own. These property owners have no title insurance. They have no real property interest. The records of WorldMark specifically say you have no real property interest in WorldMark. That title is held by WorldMark. I see my time is up.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rissier.
Thank you.
The statute does not require that you have a real property interest. If you look at the definition of timeshare use, it talks about a contractual or a membership right of occupancy. That portion of the statute does not require that you have a real property interest like one who has a timeshare estate would have. These folks have contractual and membership rights of occupancy. Mr. Rasu made a comment about the residency being restricted to just two individuals. If you look at the declaration, exhibits C and D, look at that definition in 2.16, that limit is per bedroom. These dwelling units consist of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom and studios. So they say unless there's permission, you're only supposed to have 2 people per bedroom, a reasonable rule, a reasonable requirement. I thought I heard Mr. Rasu say you don't need to have a specific unit or a specific period of time, which is exactly what the BAA said you had to have and why we weren't a timeshare unit. So maybe we don't disagree as much as I thought we did. On this issue of deference to the BAA, certainly they're entitled to deference, but this court, as it has ruled consistently, reviews matters of law. You review them de novo. The BAA didn't interpret any regulations here. They were interpreting state statutes. And I submit for the reasons previously stated that they got it wrong. Were they to interpret, their interpretation of the timeshare use really negates and frustrates and makes part of that statute for superfluous. Statutory construction says we're supposed to read them together so that that doesn't happen. Read both parts of the statute is all we're asking this court to do. On this issue of exclusivity and recurrent use, Section 5.7 of Exhibit C and D tells you what these members get. As against the general public, they have an exclusive right to use this property. As against other members, they have the right to use the property in accordance with the occupancy periods into which it's been divided. Exactly what the statute says in the timeshare use definition. This is not a Sam's Club or a Costco. This is the farthest thing from that. These folks enter into a contract for 40 years or a perpetual existence. They have to pay annual or special assessments. If they don't, they can lose their interest. They can sell, transfer, or assign their interest. They can rent their property. This is significantly different, and to say it's a Sam's Club is just so far off the mark. He's mentioned several times the concept of renting to the general public. There's nothing in the record that indicates that this property was rented to the general public in the year in question. There is a provision in the declaration that indicates that if circumstances require, they may be able to do it. In my argument to the BAA, I pointed out that there were 3 properties of all the properties they own in the country where use was insufficient. Members didn't want to go there and use it. And it would require, in my opinion, an amendment under the last section of the declaration because the use is restricted to timeshare residential use.
Your time is up, Mr. Downey.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Downey. Thank you again, Mr. Rasu. We appreciate your arguments this afternoon. The case will stand submitted and a written opinion will issue in due course.
Thank you.